Steven Espinosa.
Are you guys taking requests? Can I?
Yeah, sure.
See the bald guy in there?
Yeah.
Whatever you want to him.
Okay. Yeah. I'll think, you know.
Okay.
Some Cisco later on.
I mean, Cisco.
I was thinking maybe Tony.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well.
Yeah, might as well.
But Cisco. Okay. Yep.
And the voice you hear is that of Steven Espinosa, Showtime sports executive who is here with us for a little bit to talk some Mayweather and McGregor. Good morning. What is happening with you?
Things are only mildly out of control, you know, which is an improvement at this stage. You know, things are great. You know, I think we're all impatient to get the fight over with. You know, the fighters even, you know, 10 times worse. But, you know, right now, all the balls are in motion, and then it's fight week, and we're ready to go.
So how in constant contact are you with both sides? Is this an ongoing thing daily, or is it whenever something may be out of sort, or is this where you're overseeing every little bitty thing about this on a daily basis?
We're in contact with both camps. We're shooting with them. We've got the All Access series, which documents their preparation. So we're in those kind of conversations, and there's occasional business and ticket, you know, obligations here. Really, for the most part, all the balls are in motion, everything's rolling, and now it's sort of like planning a wedding. It's, you know, it's logistics, it's seating, it's tickets, it's guests, it's, you know, pre-party, it's all that stuff. You know, like I said, you're the world's biggest wedding.
And speaking of that, tickets and obligations, Brian Jones and I, we like
it. Oh, I did promise. Yeah. I remember. I'm fully prepared.
We did come a begging.
Yeah, and we like attending things.
We like pre-parties.
We do.
Pre-parties.
We are a great tandem, and we add to any atmosphere.
Right.
So with that in mind.
And I just wanted to give an example. We sometimes induce other guests or people in the same vicinity into doing things like the mascot of Oregon.
Right.
The duck. Mm-hmm. We got the duck to give me a table dance through a glass.
Right, at the national championship.
I made it rain.
Yes.
So it wasn't my doing, but apparently our celebrity influenced.
It made national news, right. Actually.
You need people like that. They're a key ingredient in a party.
When we walk in the room.
Right.
There you go.
With all that being said, and the ticket obligation stuff, Brian Jones has something for you.
Yeah. Remember when we had you on, I found out we had so much in common. I mean, UCLA.
Separated birth.
Exactly. Gee, brothers basically. From another mother, of course. And you came out bilingual. I didn't. And so you're from Texas. I'm from Texas. And so I thought I'd bring a gift from the state of Texas, our home state. I was just there for my charity event. And I brought you. Now, I have to give you a little backstory on this.
Okay.
I've got a buddy, one of the best football players ever to play the game at the University of Texas, Kenneth Sims. He was number one overall pick in the NFL to the New England Patriots 82 draft. Anyway, he now thinks he's a pit master. And so he's always bragging on his barbecue. So I said, all right, I'm coming down. How about you hook me up a couple briskets, bring them back up to New York, one for me, and one for Mr. Steven Espinosa. So I have you a brisket.
That is priceless.
Not from
priceless.
Straight from the pit, backyard pit of the great Kenneth Sims. Looking at you, the brisket may weigh more than you. Damn. Yeah.
Well, all these things are running through my mind, and I'm thinking, what can I possibly? I never would have guessed brisket. You know, I'm thrilled, though.
We were talking food. Now, it's frozen now, so just a few instructions. When it defrosts, just put it on the oven on about 350 and let it cook for about 40, 50
now,
minutes.
Is this like Vince Wilfork level barbecue brisket?
This Kenneth Sims. Vince.
Yeah, so this is
it.
This
Texas. Is,
wow, thank you so much.
Smells so good.
Jeez, this is heavy.
That is heavy. Yeah, so
this is a Fred Flintstone.
Thank
you. Know,
you. Well,
those,
you know how our home state is. Everything's bigger in Texas.
Thank you so much. You're so generous.
15-pound brisket.
We're sitting here with Steven Espinosa, executive for Showtime Sports. And of all the people I've been kissing your ass over the last month or so, has there been a better gift than brisket from Kenneth Sims?
You know, there really hasn't. It's an interesting process because, you know, a lot of people lost my phone number when Mayweather retired. You know, and then there's a lot of new acquaintances over the last 8 to 10 weeks.
Of course.
Renewed people, but nothing nearly as nice as brisket. Absolutely not.
Brisket tugs at the heart.
Oh, no, you're
come
right.
Come on.
More ways than one.
I'll eat off this for probably 6-7 weeks.
At least.
Well, enjoy the brisket.
Yeah.
And whether we're at this fight or not, we'll be happy.
No, you guys will be there. You'll be, you know, I think. You know, I haven't gotten an RSV from Halle Berry. You know, I know I'd promised you that weeks ago.
Well,
but
there'll be some lookalikes, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Let's just say, yeah.
Okay.
There'll be a plan B.
I think Charlize Theron will be
she's great. Personality,
can
too.
Can we get him another brisket right now?
So, Steven, this is something that I've been saying over the last couple of days, and I want you to tell me why I'm wrong, because I know that you will. So this spectacle, what it's been, and when it was first announced, people went crazy. There was the press conferences, which turned a lot of people off because of some of the things that happened during the press conferences. And then I started hearing stuff about ticket sales, and then, you know, maybe it wasn't exactly where it needed to be. And then you're here sitting here with us. I saw you did an interview with Sporting News as well. You're out in front. So my cynical brain, because I'm a cynical guy, my cynical brain is saying, does Steven Espinosa take this much time out of his day if this thing is exactly where he wants it to be? So is this right now, with the pay-per-view buys, the early buys, and the interest in this fight, where you want it to be? Are you doing more promotion than usual because you're a little bit worried?
No, the reality is you never want to take anything for granted. So this is more a case of, you know, putting the pedal to the floor throughout the process. You know, people have been talking about this for weeks now, and it's been, you know, front and center. There's great awareness. You know, there are some fights that, you know, the struggle is awareness. Like, people know this fight is being discussed, but you never want to assume just because people are debating, you know, the sparring footage and Paulie and Connor and MMA versus boxing, whether that really translates to, you know, buying it on fight week. So, you know, you guys were overlooked in my publicity tour before. You're now a regular part, especially with the brisket. So, you know, the reality, when you have a persona like Floyd, you know, he attracts a lot of critics, you know, and rightly so in some cases. You know, he's certainly no angel. But I think more so people root for him to fail because of the arrogance, the persona. So, you know, the reality is, you know, they're all going to make a lot of money. It's going to do really well at the box office. You know, will it sell out? If it doesn't, it's going to be really close, and it'll probably be the biggest gate of all time. You're more than likely.
So this is nothing, this late push by you and everyone involved, this is nothing out of the ordinary.
This is just me trying to avoid going into the office and having to deal with tickets. So, I don't know what you guys have on. Like, I'll talk to the next host as well.
Usually guests are trying to get out of it as soon as possible.
Right.
No, wants to stick around.
Easy. Right, exactly. No one can get a hold of me while I'm on air.
I'm talking to Steven Espinosa of Showtime Sports, Mayweather and McGregor. It's amazing. It's just a little over a week away on Showtime pay-per-view. And you mentioned some of the boxing purists and how that is a discussion, the UFC purists. Do you think that even though there's some people that are saying, oh, man, this really got both these things involved and Conor didn't do it the right way and come up through the ranks and this is just a money grab, that those people will stay away from the fight? Do you think that they're, in your own opinion, will still be interested enough to see how it plays out?
I think there's a lot of curiosity and a lot of interest. There's one thing. There's never been an event like this. I don't know that there will ever be again. There's no one can really tell us reliably how it's going to play out. I mean, that's the thing with combat sports generally. Anyone who tells you they know exactly how it's going to go is either fooling themselves or you, you know. And with this fight in particular, you know, sure, Floyd is, you know, one of the best of all time, you know, maybe the best defensive fighter of all time. And if he was at his prime, this fight wouldn't be happening. You know, if he was 33, 34, there were few people on the face of the earth who could touch Floyd, including Conor. At 40, with 2 years off, we'll see. That's what represents the intrigue here, as we don't know exactly what Floyd has left.
In retrospect, do you feel as though you had maybe one or two press conferences too many, considering how outrageous those became with some of the rhetoric coming from both fighters?
Yeah, you know, there were definitely points at which we crossed the line. And I say we, I mean, as a promotion. And there were some statements made in the course of it that really, I mean, quite frankly, there's no way to describe them other than indefensible. But there was, you know, a lot of emotion, a lot of a personal heated rivalry that developed, you know, and there were sort of stray bullets flying in every direction. You know, I got hit by a couple. You know, I'm not even supposed to be in the in the crossfire.
Well, we talked about it on the show when Connor went after him.
I can't
repeat what Connor said.
His ass with that brisket.
Now,
that's right.
Are you one of the guys that when Connor's attacking you in that manner that you're laughing because you're a part of the spectacle, or you're also like, oh my goodness, this is ridiculous that I'm involved in this?
No, I was alive. It took me by surprise, quite candidly. You know, it was, that's another thing. It wasn't a work. Like, there's a lot of things that happen that people say, oh, I can't believe that wasn't prearranged. It wasn't. You know, and it wasn't like, you know, he winked at me backstage and said, oh, you know, hey, just trying to sell. No, like, he is in fight mode. Hmm. And it's sort of like a method actor who gets into the role. He's in fight mode, so.
But when you're in fight mode, do you bite the hand that feeds you?
Well, you know, he'll figure out later that I have to sign the check, and probably, you know, at that point. You know, until then, you know, anybody who's not in his camp is, you know, there's my camp, and then there's an enemy, you know, and you get caught in the crossfire sometimes.
So you're there on site with these guys. Do you feel there's a genuine rivalry that's developing or has developed?
Yeah, that's one thing. You know, that's really fascinating about these sort of press tours. And this was only four cities, but it was long enough. By the third city, you're already sick of everybody, you know, because you're sort of traveling together. You're seeing them, you know, they're talking trash, and then you have to go do it. And then by the time you get to the end of the week, you know, another city after London, a fifth city, and it just would have been an all-out brawl. You know, yeah. It just, everyone had reached their tolerance. And it was time to sort of everybody get in camp and work off some testosterone there.
Coming up next, more with Stephen Espinoza, including what really happened with that Paulie Malignaggi, I could say that right for once, Paulie Malignaggi footage. We're coming right back.
This is Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
It is Gio and Jones across the country on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah!
We've got Stephen Espinoza in studio.
It just
with
got
us.
Good, didn't it?
Executive for Showtime Sports.
I tell you, them folks from Texas, they good people.
It's unbelievable how frozen brisket can smell that good.
Hey,
it really
it
is.
It does. Yeah.
And that's the gift we gave him.
I might tear this up and on the way into the office, I might tear it open.
Come on.
Start nibbling on it.
There you go. Good stuff.
It's time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question comes from Danny in Nevada, and he says, what really happened with that Paulie Malignaggi video? You have to ask Mr. Espinoza. Trusty professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts help you choose the brakes and an exact fit for your vehicle. Brands you trust like Brake Best and Wagner Thermal Quiet. O'Reilly Auto Parts has brake parts you need at guaranteed low prices. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. This has been going on for a while. I know that Dana White accused you guys of painting Paulie Malignaggi in a better light because he's one of your guys. I know you have publicly disputed that. It seems like there is a brouhaha between this thing that maybe there doesn't need to be. So give us your side of the story on what has gone on with this footage and what we need to know.
Well, it's funny. It's really, it's like the Zapruder footage at this point, right? It's been so debated, like there's conspiracy theories around it. You know, the reality, I think Dana said he'd given us a ton of footage. We did get some of the sparring footage. Connor's camp had shot it, so it wasn't our cameras. They gave us about a minute, and it was a highlight reel. So it was basically a minute of, you know, Connor landing a left hook, Connor landing a jab, Connor landing, and said, okay, sure, we can use it within our preview show, All Access. But then when I went back to him, I said, okay, well, we'd like to use part of it. They said, well, either you use the whole thing as we edited it, or you don't use it at all. And I said, you know, it's a minute and a half. It's sort of redundant. We get the idea. Like, no one wants to see it. It wasn't particularly well shot. So I said, no, we're editing it. We want to, you know, let people see it. And they said, well, if you're not using the whole thing, then you can't use it at all. So it's slightly different than you know, how Dana characterized it. I mean, if 60 seconds of footage is a ton of footage, then yeah, we got a ton. But it wasn't. I think what everyone wants is really a representative sample. I mean, no one wants the highlight reel of Paulie or the highlight reel of Connor. People are curious, like, what really happened there? You know, maybe at some point, maybe that's you know, a pay-per-view down the line when we finally get this infamous footage. You know, here's $4.99. You can see what happened.
Here's why it went down like it went down.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That'll be on the DVD version, right? The director's cut.
The bonus edition, yeah, and all right. that. Yep. So you're in the entertainment business. So if it doesn't go off and it's not as exciting or the action's not celebrated as you would like for it to be, do you take that personally?
You know, to a certain extent. I mean, obviously, you can only make fights, and then on paper, sometimes they look great, and you know they're only good, or vice versa. But there's a sense of disappointment. I mean, no, if you played in that stinker of a game, you know, not really your fault. That's the way the ball bounces sometimes.
Never but, my fault.
But you still want people to be, you know, entertained. On this one, I'll tell you the truth, and I'm not selling. I don't think there's a way that this fight is boring. You know, I can virtually guarantee it's going to be more exciting than the Pacquiao fight. You know, that's not a real high bar. Hmm. But, you know, I think what people are expecting out of Pacquiao is for him to come in like a tornado, like he has against other opponents. And at a certain point, it looked like he sort of put it on cruise control. And, you know, that's not Conor. Conor, you know, the one thing, he's got nothing to lose. So I think this will be, you know, one of the more entertaining fights, you know. I don't know how it'll play out, but I know it won't be boring.
You've got one of those jobs that when you tell people what you do, they think it's the greatest thing in the world. And there's a lot of great things about it. But when you're in the midst of something like this, you could probably lose a little focus on how great it is because there's a lot of stress involved in what you do as well. I mean, even if we think and we hear you're talking to Dana White about this and how cool is that, and oh my goodness, you're involved in this big thing. But when you're actually doing it and a lot of people are counting on your decisions and you're a leader at Showtime, I mean, there has to be some stress involved. So my question is, have you been able to enjoy this process as much as you would like, or have you gotten to this point where the stress has gotten, you know, and all the talking and all the nonsense, you're like, I just want this damn thing to be over with.
You know, it's something that that I have to remind myself of, you know, and it's probably like you guys. There are times when, you know, technically things are not going great or you're under stress or, you know, but at the end of the day, you know, you take a breath, you have to remind yourself, look, this is, you know, everything's going to work out. This is a tremendous event. You know, most people don't get to work on or attend an event like this, you know, maybe once in a lifetime. You know, here we've gotten, you know, Pacquiao and then this fight. So at a certain point, yes, it's easy to get caught in the minutiae and the stress. But, you know, I've got to remind myself, you know, especially when we're in Vegas, you're running around. It's like, wait, let's slow down. This is pretty cool. I mean, to have an event like this that gets the attention that it has, you know, that's what all of us get into sports media for, you know, going to television and radio to be a part of the mega event.
Now, you will go out to Vegas when?
Monday morning.
Spent out the whole week. So we had a little conversation during the break, and apparently it looks like if we want to go to Vegas, G, we probably could attend a few pre-parties and a certain event that's taking place there. So I'm looking at some flights. I'm being proactive here.
Yeah, I saw the laptop did open up as soon as right.
And then I have a preview show, college football preview show on CBS, Saturday the 26th.
Yeah.
Should be done around 3:30, 4 at the latest. And the fight, let's say, card kicks off at what time, Vegas time?
At 6 p.m.
6 p.m. Vegas time, so that's 9 p.m. here.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at a flight on United. I haven't checked other airlines, but United has a direct.
You are the worst.
9 o'clock. get to Vegas at 11:30. That's going to be way too late.
Yeah.
That one won't work because I'm thinking the main event.
Hey, Steven, I'm free all weekend. just so you know.
There's got to be a way you can work this out. If Tom Brady can, you know, go to the Kentucky Derby, find a way, and then walk into the fight, I know you can pull strings.
Tom Brady had a lot more coins than me. He can have the private jet waiting.
I think they moved up the start of the race for Tom so he could attend both, right?
Yeah, he got a little bit more pull. All I do is deliver briskets. He delivers championships.
Well, yeah. well, best of luck with that. I can choose any flight
I
want.
Yeah, you got a better deal than
that. You know, actually, get out early. You know, you can sit by the pool, relax a little bit, you know.
You're making me smile, Steven.
Yep.
I like this.
So I'm just saying, I'm putting you on the spot on national radio. I'm just saying, if we get there, we're good.
Yeah. No, you are good. I've said it now in the presence of millions of listeners. I will not disappear once you land in Vegas.
Now, wow. Okay. We just got to get there.
That's it.
We are good. I'm gonna find a way.
So we're talking.
We're talking one ticket for Brian, one ticket for me. Is what you're saying?
I mean, you got childhood friends you're bringing as well.
I have a wife. I know that she would be very disappointed if I left. And if Brian blows me off,
you guys are tough negotiators. But,
I mean, I don't know.
Well, my wife don't like boxing.
There's probably I can. There's some people I've been meaning to drop off our guest list anyway.
Thank you.
So you just
you
give
go.
Me an excuse. You need three or four.
I would never ask for. I would never ask for more than two. I would never do that.
Okay,
to you.
No, absolutely. Last thing I want to do is harm your marriage in this process. Like you flying out to Vegas for a big fight weekend.
Right.
I do that all the time by myself.
Yeah, I don't want to end up like Brian.
That's I don't know if you want to hang out with me in Vegas, G.
Yeah,
you probably should bring
him. Yeah, right. So. The thing that you're most looking forward to is because I try to put myself in the guest shoes and think what they're thinking. So if I were you, the thing that I would most be looking forward to is the start of the fight, because at that point every question has been answered except for the outcome, at least the business side,
right.
For you. That'd be the thing I'm most looking forward to. Is that what you're most looking forward to?
Yes, I mean that's the point at which it truly becomes enjoyable. Sure, you're worried about the live telecast, but when you get to that 90% of the things that could have gone wrong didn't, so you're in good shape there. But it's probably even like those 60 seconds, it's the walkout and, you know, through the introductions to first bout. You know, people who are fight fans, as I consider myself a huge one, obviously, that is some of the most exciting times in sports. There's really not the same feeling, you know, not even before first pitch of the World Series or Super Bowl. It's just a different atmosphere and adrenaline, a buzz. Those walkouts, those guys, you know, they're facing off, and they're just it's a unique moment in the arena, you know, on TV. That moment of anticipation, and then bell rings and here we go.
It's finally here. It's like the gladiators. If you've gone to these big fights, it's pretty interesting, and it is very unique to itself.
It's sort of symbolic, you get there, you've got everybody in the world in the ring, you've got hangers-on and entourage and officials and sponsors, and then, everybody sort of filters out, and you're left with two guys in the ring, and you realize everything, this whole 10, 12 weeks comes down to these two guys face-to-face.
Speaking of entourage, we have all sorts of people come through here, and I mean, they're sometimes 10 deep. You're the head of Showtime Sports. Nobody.
My entourage sleeps late, so they're like, 8:20 a.m. They're like, no, you're good. We'll catch up with you around lunch.
You going on what show? Yeah, right. No, you can handle that one yourself.
We only have a minute left, but is it tough to stay grounded when you're in charge of so much cool stuff?
Not when Conor McGregor's repeatedly calling you a weasel. So like, that tends to ground you pretty well. That reminds me exactly. that's the whole thing. We got to tune in. I don't know how this story ends. Will there be reconciliation? Will there be will the Cold War continue?
Will you end up in the ring?
Yes.
Comes the weasel. That would be something else. Well, we are looking forward to it, and we do appreciate your time. And we hope you enjoy the brisket. And
we absolutely will.
And Brian did an amazing job with
that. Actually, why don't I bring it to Vegas? I'll see if we can have the casino hook up a little grill or something.
Travel the thing across country, man. We can have some shipped to Vegas.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah. That thing is so heavy, you'd have to buy its own airplane ticket.
I'm glad I finally delivered it. I'm tired of carrying it.
Steven Espinoza, executive, Showtime Sports. Make sure that you check out Mayweather and McGregor. Do I need to tell you any more about Showtime pay-per-view when it's on? You know already, and we'll see if it ends up breaking records like many people believe that it will.